This is Street Knowledge with Chris Graham.
Welcome to the podcast, Chris Graham. We've got Scott German joining us here. UVA, a 64-48 win at Georgia Tech. And first impressions for me, Scott, I'll offer, and then I'll let you offer. I thought this was going to be a nail-biter of a game. Georgia Tech had beaten Notre Dame and Miami at home in the last little bit of time. So I certainly didn't expect Virginia to sort of pull away the way they did. And, for the Cavs, a big win on the road. Your thoughts, Scott?
Well, I think it just was a character win. I don't know how you would rate that arena, whether in terms of difficulty. The bottom line is that UVA took the show on the road, and it looked pretty similar to what we see at home. And that's what you want. You want to see a team that plays just about the same on the road as they do at home, doesn't get rattled, and other than the surroundings, you would have thought UVA was playing in the friendly confines of JPJ tonight.
And we've said this, Scott, you and I both in the past, about past versions of this UVA basketball team, the Malcolm Brogdon, Justin Anderson, Joe Harris versions, that they almost like playing on the road as much as they do at home, maybe sometimes more, because those groups love to shut up those crowds on the road. And I think this team has got a little of that swagger too. Now, this game started out for Virginia, at least offensively, it was a struggle. Virginia only 6 of their first 21 from the floor, but I'm looking at the stats and doing the quick math. Virginia was 21 of their last 37 from the floor. They finished at 46.6%. So, there were some ugly shots early. And this Georgia Tech team, of course, they play good defense too. They were coming into the game 10th in the country in points per game allowed, 40th in the country defensive efficiency. And you can kind of see that for the first 15 minutes or so of the game. A big four-point play to end the first half. Virginia goes by DeAndre Hunter. Virginia goes into the breakup 9. They scored early in the second half. I don't think after the second basket for Virginia of the second half, they led by less than 10. But still, you had to slog this one out. Big game for DeAndre Hunter, 7 of 9 from the field, 17 points. Another big game from the freshman. There was a lot to chew in there. And of course, Georgia Tech only the 48 points on the night. I mean, this is an impressive win for a Virginia team against a team that had beaten Notre Dame and Miami in the last 10 days in that very arena. I mean, this one really stands out. I think, it's the kind of game, Scott, you comment on this. Corey Alexander and Bob Rathman, the game announcers, talked about how Virginia had not left the state of Virginia. They got it wrong. They said since Brooklyn. Virginia actually went to Morgantown in December. But this was the first, true road game out of the state of Virginia for Virginia in quite a while. I think this surprised me how easily this Virginia team won this game. I just wanted to get your thoughts on that.
Well, I think it mirrored the impressive win against State. State came into Charlottesville on a roll, playing very well, and Virginia just dismantled them. It was never a game. We take the show on the road, I guess is the way you say it, and we basically take Georgia Tech out of it. The crowd was never a factor, not in my opinion anyway. You know what I thought? One of my thoughts about this game is that I think that the team learned tonight what other teams kind of experience when they play us, in that Georgia Tech played really good defense, especially in that first half. No, nothing came easy for Virginia, but eventually UVA wore them down. So this was just another impressive win. I don't even know. I was confident coming in. We talked numerous times about games on the schedule that could be trip up games that you're just not going to be on your A game. But again, as well as this team plays defense, you never have to worry about your defense taking a night off. Your offense might have a night off every now and then, but I think that's what's going to be the calling card of this UVA game, is that defense is so stifling. And I mean, 48 points. That's just unheard of. I mean, I don't care what the pace of the game says. Hold another ACC team to 48 points on the home floor. That's pretty darn impressive.
Let's give Virginia credit in some areas where we've been critical of the team in the last few games. The last 3 wins, Virginia had not rebounded the ball well. Tonight against a big Georgia Tech team, Ben Lammers, big man. He's 6'10 in the middle there, and he himself had 8 rebounds overall. But Virginia actually controlling the boards. It was a 30-29 advantage, but the offensive rebounding for Georgia Tech, they only had 7 offensive rebounds. Virginia had 20 defensive rebounds. That's about a 3-1, almost 75% of the misses. So that's a much better performance for Virginia. They only rebounded 60% of NC State's misses and 50% of Syracuse and North Carolina's misses in those wins. So that's a nice stat for Virginia. And Scott, I'll admit here, I don't usually do this during games, but tonight's game had a little bit of a margin. So I was playing the role a little bit of Scott German. Usually when Scott and I sit courtside at JPJ, I'll peek over every once in a while and see what Scott's looking at on his computer. And Scott's usually looking at the Sabre message board. And I did that a couple times tonight. And I wanted to get your thoughts on this, Scott. DeAndre Hunter, we talked about his big game, 17 points, 7 of 9 shooting from the field. He had 7 rebounds in this game, and there was a discussion thread on the Sabre message board in the second half after Virginia got the big lead about whether or not DeAndre Hunter may actually play his way into the NBA draft next year. I'm not sure this year. You know, I don't know, but you know, we know the NBA scouts are looking at the kid, 6'7" guard forward, and what he can do offensively, defensively. You know, tonight he made a 3-pointer. He may actually turn into a 4-point play. He made a couple of other jump shots. He drove to the basket really well. I mean, tonight DeAndre Hunter looked as good as he's looked, and he's looked really good recently.
Yeah, and he kind of stole a little of my thunder because I was going to go with this, and I was going to say, okay, so when do we start opening up the discussion about why or when does DeAndre Hunter start? And my comeback to that was, okay, who are you going to leave out of the starting lineup if you put him in? But as far as, yeah, I mean, he's playing great, but I believe at the end of the season, you'll sit down with Coach Bennett and talk about what's best for him, and certainly another year under his belt. I'm not being selfish either. I think you go and go in the first round, even low first round, he's going to be set for the rest of his life, and he needs to do it. But he hasn't started. He hasn't really had to be the go-to man for an entire game. So I think he needs a little more spread. I'm not really that concerned about DeAndre leaving after this year, but boy, it's nice to even be talking about it, the way he's playing. It's just he's starting to really be a beast on both ends of the floor.
And how about that 2016 recruiting class for Tony Bennett? You know, for a program that supposedly doesn't have a lot of talent in it, he's a redshirt freshman, of course, which means he's a sophomore in terms of his schooling. He had the 17 points tonight. Kyle Guy, of course, a guy who's going to likely be a first-team All-ACC guard this year. He had 11, struggled a bit from the field, 5 of 13, but he had 11 points. Ty Jerome had 12 points. He had 6 rebounds. He also had 5 assists in this game. All those guys were in that recruiting class of 2016 that I've been talking about an awful lot. And Scott, I'm going to pick up on a point you just made there about who would DeAndre Hunter replace in his starting lineup. Now, he did start the second half. He was replaced pretty quickly by Jack Salt, but Hunter did earn the starting nod, at least for those first couple minutes of the second half. But Salt, now Jack Salt finishes the game. You look at these numbers, these mean nothing. 0 points, he had 4 rebounds, he was 0 for 4 from the floor. But here's where he's big. Ben Lammers, the big center for Georgia Tech. Now, Lammers did have the 6 first-half block shots, but Lammers finishes the game with 4 points, 1 of 5 shooting. When your main offensive weapon finishes with 4 points on 1 of 5 shooting, that's all Jack Salt. That's why Jack Salt's in the ballgame.
Absolutely, and we know that Jack's not in the game to give us any offense. He is a clear example tonight. He comes up with a goose egg. In the points category. But, you know, got some key rebounds. I'm looking at the stats. He got 4 rebounds. He only played 12 minutes from what I'm seeing here. Is that correct?
That can't be right. I'll look up another box score while you're talking. But
I don't think that's – yeah, the stats that we're looking at tonight have got some inaccuracies, and I can't believe that that's correct. But moving on, you have to drop down to that Georgia Tech box score, just as you were alluding to, and look at the numbers that Lammers has. And he has worn us out in the past and worn some other teams out. 4 points. 4 points. Really, not that much of a factor. His plus minus was the whole Salt's not out there to give us any offense. He's out there to set screens, play great defense, and just kind of clog up things in the middle. And it's what he's expected to do, and that's what he does usually on a consistent basis.
I wasn't able to pull the box up fast enough, Scott. But we'll have that in our inside the numbers.
That can't be wrong. I found some other inaccuracies in that the box score that we're using tonight that we usually don't use during the games. But I want to get your thoughts. I'll turn to the host here. And what do you see this team, Chris? I was thinking about. I almost forgot that we had London Perontes last year.
Mm-hmm.
A great player. And it's almost kind of gone out of my memory right now because I think this team is playing with such chemistry. Tell me what you think about the team, the chemistry that we're playing with right now.
Yeah, I think last year's team, there were too many young guys, and Ty Jerome and Kyle Guy being such talented players, but they were freshmen, true freshmen. And they deferred way too much to London Perontes, and as a result, London had to create so much offense. And, when your point guard has to create offense, that's why Virginia bogged down at times last year. This year's team, you mentioned it, Scott, the flow of this year's team is so impressive because it's not dependent upon one guy. And I would even go back, the team 2 years ago that went to the Elite Eight was very Malcolm Brogdon dependent. If Brogdon had an off night or got into foul trouble early, that team could bog down too because, Brogdon was a rookie of the year in the NBA last year. He was a talented guy. But this year, there's no alpha male out there. There's just seven guys among the eight-man rotation, Jack Salt being the guy out there to rebound and play defense. But there's seven guys who can score anytime they touch the ball, but they don't need to score, And so it's really hard for opponents to kind of key on one guy because, if you worry too much about Kyle Guy flaring off those screens, Isaiah Wilkins will hit the pick and pop. Or DeAndre Hunter will drive to the basket and dunk it on you. Ty Jerome is so – Jerome and Guy have been so good this year about getting in the lane and making layups. We talk about that all the time. If only fans could hear Scott and I's banter during games at JPJ, we talk about how, Guy getting into the rim and Jerome getting to the rim. You got a Devin Hall who – just makes the big shot, very quietly scores 11 points tonight. Did you know Devin Hall even had anything tonight? And he had 11 points tonight. And so I see that too, Scott. I see a team that is true. This is the best team that Tony Bennett has had because it's not dependent upon one alpha male to lead, in scoring or to take the reins or anything else. There's a bunch of guys out there who can take the reins at any time, and that makes this team, I think, really doubly dangerous because you can't key on one guy.
No, you can't. And what's becoming more clear to me, and we talked about it Sunday, was that there was a comment made by one of the TV broadcasters, not to mention any names, but one of our own guys, that this was probably Tony's least talented team. And that was before the NC State game. Advanced forward two games. And is that not the most absurd comment you've ever heard made? I mean, it's becoming apparent now that this is Tony's most talented team.
Yeah, and I've
an opinion more any more than that.
And I wrote a column based on that conversation that we were a part of, Scott. And I analyzed it based on it's numbers. So, but looking at the star ratings of the guys coming out of high school. And that team 2 years ago, the team 3 years ago, the team that started 28-1. This year's Virginia team is 17-1, so ranked number two, just like that team from 3 years ago. That team had a nine-man rotation, and when you averaged all the stars out for their high school ratings, had an average star rating of 3.44. This year's team has an eight-man rotation. It's a 3.5 coming out of high school rating. There's five four-star players on this team. And 2-3 stars, and so it is a talented team, and the only thing you could say about this year's team vis-a-vis the team from 2 years ago or the team from 3 years ago is kind of what I said about there not being an alpha male, but to me, a team with one big player and then a supporting cast, I don't know. You know, I would argue that the last two national champions, North Carolina, Villanova, didn't have one player with a supporting cast. They were fluid units with a rotation of guys who, you know, could score and play defense and rebound from any position. So, you know, I think that's why this Virginia team is just like the Carolina team from last year, the Villanova team from 2 years ago. That's why this team is so dangerous. It's because, you know, there's talent on all five positions on the floor, no matter what lineup there is out there. And yeah, those were pretty silly comments. But, you know, I would say that looking at the numbers on the Augusta Free Press, when I wrote that column, that's been our most read column by far of the week. I think a lot of Virginia fans probably agree with us more than they agree with that announcer.
Well, and I think I've got a touche on that, because I actually I find it kind of humorous. One of my better half will say that that I like to always like to have a counterpoint to someone, and to this particular, not to mention any names, the announcer that was spouting that opinion later had to track him down and tell him how much I disagreed with it. Well, I sent him an email yesterday about that, and I know I'm vindicated on my argument is when I get this comeback. Well, you're entitled to your opinion. So that's kind of when your opponent waves a white flag, in my viewpoint, if that's all they can come back with, you're entitled to your opinion. But, I mean, it's hard it's just hard to imagine. You've got Hunter, you've got Guy, you've got Ty Jerome. I mean, there's just talent all over the place. You know, one thing that I noticed tonight about Hunter is that, and of course, shouldn't be a surprise, because we know if you don't play D, you're not playing for Tony. He's an excellent defender. He can guard big guys, and he's got the foot speed. He can certainly stay with the smaller players and smaller guys as well. So he is becoming a staple to this team offensively and defensively.
Yeah, he's a guy that, and that's why we talk about NBA with that kid, because 6'7", he can bring the ball up the court. He can initiate the offense. He can score from the perimeter. He can drive to the basket. He can score in the post. And then defensively, yeah, he can guard all five positions. And that's what the NBA wants these days. You know, you look at the Golden State Warriors, the Cleveland Cavaliers, they've been in the last three finals. You know, oftentimes the tallest guy on the floor for either of those teams is LeBron James or Draymond Green, who both are 6'8". You know, the NBA values that lineup flexibility that a guy like a DeAndre Hunter. Give him another year or two to develop at Virginia, and he's an NBA player. And, you know, gosh, we talk about guys who are NBA players on that roster. Kyle Guy is an NBA player. He was McDonald's All-American, Mr. Basketball in Indiana. They don't give those awards out to you know, Joe Schmoes. Ty Jerome maybe is a fringe NBA player with his height and his ability to score in the lane and his ability to initiate the offense. Devin Hall, I think, is a sleeper NBA player. So, I mean, this team, yeah. The idea that this team has no talent and this is Tony's best job. Tony's best job was last year when he had one player, London Perrantes. Austin Nichols has lost after two games, and he had all these freshmen playing. And he won 23 games, won an NCAA tournament game, actually had Virginia competitive in the ACC late in the season. That's a good job. This year's team, he's doing a good job because he recruited a great team and he's coaching them well. But you know, to say Virginia's got no talent, oh, we can debunk that. That's you know, and unfortunately, Scott, I mean, we're not giving away identities, but it's one of the UVA guys out there in the media. So whatever, you know, we know what we have, and this win tonight, I think, is another vindication, a win on the road against a pretty good Georgia Tech team and beating them pretty impressively on their floor.
Yeah, looking at a stat, Chris. Virginia, in their last 79 ACC games, is now 63-16. Hmm. Next closest team to wins is North Carolina with 55.
And then on the road, this win improves Virginia to 26-12 since the ACC expanded back, 2013, 2014, 26-12 on the road in the ACC. And I think the next most wins, I think it was Carolina with 22, but Virginia's won 26-12. Carolina's been, you know, they were in the final game 2 years ago. They won the championship last year. Virginia's actually been better on the road in the ACC than that program over the last 2 years. So it's not just JPJ. They go on the road. They win on the road as well. That's the mark of a good basketball team.
Yeah, and another road game coming up Sunday night. Was watching some of the state game, Wake Forest state game, and close game for most of the contest, but state pulled away late and won by 9, 72-63. So, you know, you're still playing on the road in the ACC. Nothing comes easy, but, you know, I think that every game that Virginia plays on the road, they're just gaining confidence. You know, defense travels with you every night, wherever you go, and we know that that's what's going to show up for UVA. Offense a little sluggish tonight, but the defense kept them ahead until the offense kind of woke up a little bit.
So we'll go ahead and wrap up. It's late on a Thursday night, but Scott and I mentioned it. In fact, I'll try to get Scott on the phone tomorrow. We'll do a breakdown of UVA Wake Forest. That's coming up on Sunday with a 6 o'clock tip. We'll live blog during that one. Number 2 Virginia on the road at Wake Forest, as Scott mentioned. And so we'll break that one down tomorrow. I'll do my pregame breakdown as well online at AugustaFreePress.com. And, of course, check us out tonight. I've already written the recap. You have this podcast that you've just finished listening to. But we'll have my Inside the Numbers column and maybe one or two other things as well. We'll have the postgame transcripts, et cetera, from the Virginia locker room. So a lot still to come on this one. But for Scott and I'm going to go ahead and sign off for the night. I want to thank you for listening. Once again, final score, Virginia 64, Georgia Tech 48. Wahoo wah. Have a great night, everybody.